הרב משה ליכטנשטיין, ראש ישיבת הר עציון.
ברשות הציבור, אני מבקש את מחילתכם, אני מדבר בשפה אנגלית, כדי שאלו שהכי קרובים לנפטר יוכלו להבין אותי. כל משבריך וגליך עליי אבל, all your waves have pounded against me, roiled me, rolled over me. Mark, when we first discussed your illness, Mutter Shabbos told us 2.5 years ago, when I went to meet you on Hadassah, Mutter Shabbos, I mentioned this pasuk, we spoke about two kinds of illnesses, those in which there's one major crisis, which reached a crescendo, a climax, in some momentous event, such as surgery, in which all hopes are pinned in a moment. You either cross the moment or you don't. It's sort of like a tidal wave. One huge wave, you're able to overcome it, on the other side you're clear. There are illnesses and diseases, which are the kind of kol mishbarecha v'galecha, small wave after small wave, after each wave comes another one, relentless, not letting up. You need the strength to continue. After one wave, the next, and the next, and the next, a series of small events, no one climatic moment, no major crisis, but constant struggle, Sisyphean uphill movement. We spoke at the time that cancer usually is of the second kind, not of the first. And we spoke about marshaling kochot ha-nefesh, your emotional and spiritual powers, to be able to go through and proceed and to face them, to fight with the illness. Little did I know, and little did you know at the time, this would end up being the Ya'amei Duach Se'ara B'Torim Galad. It would be a series of waves, and not small ones. The waves would increase in strength. They would pound harder and longer, higher and higher. It would be not one huge wave, and not a series of small waves. It would be many waves creating a swell and a storm, impossible to swim against. This is what you've been facing, Mark, for the past 2.5 years. Constant struggle, requiring tremendous spiritual and emotional effort. We had no idea how much a journey it was. And here we are at the conclusion of that journey, in an impossible position. How can I be masfid you, Mark? We had many conversations in the past 2.5 years. We talked often, but those are conversations. You asked the questions, I spoke, you spoke. We were able to have meaningful conversations because we are penetrating questions. Alone, in a monologue, I can't do it. I can only speak with you, listening to you. Your probing questions, your demand to understand what's going on. And here I am, all of a sudden, alone. I sat an hour ago on the same couch we used to sleep in so often. You said your white couch to bed. And I couldn't imagine the situation. My sitting on the couch and you not being opposite me. It's too much for me to think of. Nevertheless, I will try. I knew three marks. I knew the mark as a student in yeshiva, the mark of intellectual curiosity, the mark I remember standing next to me, next to the bookcase in the Beit Midrash, asking a question, asking who's pulling out a book. The mark who continued, as Rabbi Sacks mentioned, learning throughout his life, whose books are up to date, and books in his book is up to date because he read them. The mark who called me a Chol Moed Pesach, and we all know what an effort the Seder was for him. We all know what an effort the weeks leading up to Pesach were for him. He called me first day Chol Moed and said to me, he asked to talk to me. Something's bothering him about Parshanut. He read some book about the Torah commentary, And somehow it bothered him, it rubbed him the wrong way. He disagreed with the author's method. He had to discuss it. Bavonotai, we never had the conversation. I responded a bit. We never got around to finishing that conversation. But that was the mark I knew in the midst of this all. He was interested in Parshanut. He was interested in Torah. His curiosity never left him. There's a second mark, of course. The mark that was alluded to before. The man of action. The person who could single-handedly transform a community. The organizer. The person who would not rest day and night. Sunday morning he'd be up. The whole week be working. We all give Mishaberach once a week. V'chol misho skim b'tzachet zibur b'emunah. People devote themselves to the community through action. We all confront the world. Each of us meets the world. Each of us engages the world. We all do it in our own ways. Mark was a man of action. He confronted the world. He dealt with the world by improving it. Mark was not perplexed by the world. Mark, you were not enchanted by the world. You saw the world as something to be improved, something which demands us action, a mission, a challenge to make it a better place. I need not say what a better world Mark left behind him. Many people in the crowd know that much better than I do. Rabbi Sacks mentioned before Mark's work in London. He saw everything as a call to action. Our last conversation before his illness, he told me about his plans for Modi'in, and he was thinking grandly. He was thinking about schools, about communities, basically about rethinking the whole model in Eretz Yisrael, trying to bring the best of Galut to the best of Eretz Yisrael. He was talking about hiring people, of building community. This is the Mark I knew from London. The Mark who left London in the middle of his life on a new journey, a new challenge, because the world is a place of conquest, and he was out to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and he was out to improve Modi'in. Rabbi Sacks mentioned before the thousands of people who inquired about him. I drove here now, together with the Aron, the Chevra Kadisha people told us they have never seen such Levayin Modi'in. They've never seen such parking. They've never seen so many people in this Beit HaKvarot to a Levaya. Mark, the circles you touched reach far and wide. And now to the third mark. Now I'll preface this with an explanation. Mark, I told you often in the last few months that I admire your courage. I was never able to explain myself, but I will now. I'll explain to maybe to Natalie once. Mark, you're a man of action. You were outward looking. So before, you saw the world as a place to conquer, a place to improve. You are a man of control. And in the past 2.5 years, you became a gibor. No longer Haggadol, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, rather Gibor, because you were forced to relinquish. You were forced to lose control. You did your best to remain in control. You took copious notes of conversations with doctors, with Rabbanim, with friends. You tried to remain in control. As time went on, you had to cede more and more that control to circumstance. You could not control things the way you like to. Initially, you could somehow take your medical, you could take it to your hands at least choosing the doctors, choosing the hospital. But nothing more than that. Because once you chose the doctor in the hospital, they dictated all the medical treatment. Initially, you could still argue with the pharmacy and with the doctors. As time went on and your situation grew worse, you lost the knowledge and the capability to do that. And once, rather than a transplant, you even lost control of which hospital, which doctors to choose. You were often frustrated, but you had no control. In a sense, you became a different person. In the past 2.5 years, you became a person of contemplation, a person of gvura, who is able to cede control and to become inward-looking. And you become so deeply inward-looking, you begin to reach into the recesses of your soul. You begin to talk about topics that you never reflected upon before, or if you did, you never articulated them. You dug much, much deeper. You became a tragic figure, but also a much deeper figure. In the past 2 years, You're no longer a man of action. You're a man of deep reflection and thought. You reach places and regions which I don't think you anticipated reaching. Your life became deeper, became sadder. This is your tragedy, but this is also the courage. The Rav often talks about Gvura being not power, but overcoming, but retreat, recoil, relinquishing control as Gvura. Mark, you became a tremendous Gibor. Unfortunately, from Gadol Gibor, unfortunately you've become Kadosh. You've gone up to heaven now. You're no longer neither Gadol nor Gibor here. You are now Kadosh, B'cheka Shechina. You've left us in that regard. You've left us a tragic place. I began with the metaphor of the waves. It's often gone through my mind. The small ship being buffeted against the waves. I mentioned this to you at the time. Little did I know that not to only make a picture, I found out about this 2-3 days ago in the hospital, that not to make a picture of the same imagery. She drew waves and the small ship, and we all know the small ship, who it stands for. And she was buffeted around by these waves of disease and illness. A skipper trying to hold on to maintain control of his boat. You maintained inner control, even though you're losing outer control. You take deep inner control. I'd like to say two brief words to the family. Mark, as was mentioned before, the devotion of the family to yourself speaks volumes about them and about yourself. I was privileged to be led into the inner circle of family in the past few months. What I saw amazed me. The love, the concern, the kochot nefesh of all involved. As we all have to deal with greater and greater problems, and higher waves, with deeper and deeper waters. And I must say, and I know I allow myself to say this because we spoke about this, Mark, 2-3 months ago. I think your relationship to the entire family, in particular to Natalie, deepened, was transformed. Going through this together, and together you went through it, each one concerned for the other, each one caring about the other, each one speaking to me about the other, transformed the whole relationship, made it deeper, much more tragic, but so much more meaningful. And what's true of Ishto Kegufo is true of the entire family, of your parents, of your sister, of your brother-in-law, of the wider circles, and I don't speak of the children, that's a whole different parasha. But you created a whole new world of relationships, and I know you spoke to the family Pesach night, and whatever you had to say, you said then better than I can possibly say. The entire family is a family of Giborim now. And Bezat Hashem, this Gvura will continue to provide them with Kochot HaNefesh to move onwards, to continue your legacy, to preach the message. And I could conclude by explaining my one other statement. I saw you 2 days ago, Mark. It was difficult. I was asked to give you a bracha. What could I say? I said, Mark, Pelech Michai Lelchayu. I came home, a family member asked me, how can you say Pelech Michai Lelchayu? A person is about to depart the world. Can you talk about Michai Lelchayu? I said to them, what I could not say to you at the moment, but I thought through my mind. The Gemara says, in the Masechet Ta'anit, Sadiqim ela menucha lo balam hazeh ve lo balam haba, to give no rest or repose, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Shene'emar yelchu mechayil el chayil. It said they will go from chayil to chayil, from strength to strength. People who see olam hazeh as a place for improvement, improve wherever they go. People believe in action, activity, remain in constant action, activity. Mark, I meant very well. Kalech Michael Chayil, Balam Hazah, Uba Olam Haba. Because I'm sure whatever good you can do, you will continue to be doing. You leave behind you a grieving but loving family who constantly look up to your legacy for their support, for the comfort, and for the tragedy. If your life was so meaningful and so full, why could we not have this switch have been longer? However, we are so grateful and thankful for the intensity and for the beauty of the life that was and no longer be b'olam hazeh, b'olam haba.